Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Hey, thanks for checking out The Kitchen Table this week. This is episode number 22. Yeah. My name is Brian.
And I'm Jake.
And if you don't know what The Kitchen Table is, we do this every week. It's a program where we started this just, and we call it The Kitchen Table because that's what we're doing. We're fostering the conversations over the kitchen table to talk about faith issues from parents and teenage children, young adult children, just to have more of those faith conversations. And so that's why we started this, and thank you so much for checking it out. And we do a faith question every week, about 20 minutes or so, and then we move into a thing called Music Matters. We're both big fans of music.
Yes, we are.
We will discuss new songs that we've found. Yep. We'll do an oldie but goldie, as
yep.
you call it.
You got it right that time. Good job.
I try. We also move into a segment we call Culture Shock, which is just talking about something that's happening in our culture this week. And so yeah. that's what's happening on the program today. We're going to start off, of course, with our faith question. Our faith question today, are you ready for this one?
I'm ready. Hit me with it.
What is the relationship between following Jesus and serving the needs of others?
It's hard to find a good balance in between those two.
A lot of people will point out things from Scripture where it talks about you can't earn your way into heaven. It's all about this free gift of God's grace. But at the same time, others will say, well, it's about faith and works. And how does that all work itself out? Is it required as a Christian to serve the needs of others? And that's the wrong question to ask.
Yeah.
Because a natural outflowing of our relationship with Jesus is to be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, at his core, is a servant.
Yeah.
And so serving the needs of others, of being a servant, if we are to be like Jesus, that's what's a part of this. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So serving is really at the heart of Jesus's ministry. God serves others through us. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I think that God has gifted us with specific abilities and specific talents and gifts to serve others.
So Jesus is really calling us more than just to be the wait staff.
What do you mean by that?
The wait staff. So
like the waiters and
yeah.
serving?
Jesus is calling us more than just doing. Because many out there believe yeah. it's all about just the doing.
Yeah, I think there has to be a good balance between your individual relationship with God and you helping and serving others through being like a vessel for God. If you're doing it for your own individual investment or like...
For your own gratitude.
Yeah. Well, if you're really only doing it for your own gratitude and for self-building, fulfillment, yeah, mm-hmm. it's not really in the right place. John Crist, funny comedian,
right.
his like punchline is check your heart. I mean, it's funny because when he references it, it's in a funny context, but I think that's also a deeper context that we do need to check our hearts and why we are doing the things that we are doing.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table, a father-son show talking about faith, music, and culture. If we're following the example that Jesus sets for us, and of course, Scripture, his ministry is just full of examples of servanthood, he is serving all people, and he's requiring us, if we follow his example, to get involved in the lives of others.
Yeah.
It's more than just going down to the local soup kitchen and serving the meal. It's getting to know the people across the counter from you that you're serving to. Sit down with them, know their story, understand yeah. them. Jesus valued relationships. Think about it. His conversation with the Samaritan woman. He says, make time for children. Yeah. Bring those children unto me. It's about relationships. Comforting his friends, Martha and Mary. These are just ways. These are examples of us and the motivation behind the activity of relationships that Jesus wants us to serve others through relationships. Following Jesus leads us into the mess of life. Let's face it. Leads us to where lives are being transformed, where Christ is being made known. Jesus, serving as Jesus serves, actually, through that process, brings us closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, Jesus came to serve the others. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. The night church that I go to, Community Cup, the pastor was preaching about servanthood, and he basically was explaining like how uncommon it was that Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. That's a servant's job. That's like the lowest job you can do because
oh, wait.
Back then they didn't have shoes and they walked in mud and feces and all that stuff. Disgusting. It's awesome to see that someone so high powered and Jesus going down and being the servant to the people who he is trying to reach. And I think that's the best way to show the love of God is by serving others.
Well, also think about that example of Jesus when he washed his disciples' feet, the situation that that was happening. He knew he was going to be betrayed.
Yeah.
He knew what was coming.
And he still washed.
And he still did that. He still followed through with that. He had every reason to be preoccupied with the oncoming suffering, but yet he still chose to do that. He actually spent his earthly ministry serving others, but also not only showing us how to serve, but teaching his disciples that this is the core of the life of following Christ, is servanthood. He said, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. That's completely backwards and foreign to the way our society has created things.
Mm-hmm. The term that every Christian knows, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I think that as Christians, we need to accept the fact that we need to show the love of God. It's hard in this day and age because we live in a very selfish time. We live in a very quick with Wi-Fi and with internet. We know everything first. And it's really hard for us to step back and one, accept help, but two, also giving help. We live in such a selfish age and we want more than we can give.
Right. Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table, a father-son show talking about faith, music, and culture. You know, one of the plainest expressions of love demonstrated in Scripture is fellowship.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to that relationship that Jesus is talking about, relationships with others, sharing with others. One of the most valuable things we can share is ourselves, and that's what servanthood is all about.
Yeah.
We share our time, we share our talents, we share our energy by serving others.
Yeah.
That's the great thing to remember. Jesus showed us his own attitude towards servanthood. He taught us that true greatness in the kingdom of God is not in the position or the authority that we hold, but it's in serving one another. And that comes back to humility. We humble ourselves. We take us off of that position we hold, and we humble ourselves to a point of servanthood where our generation seems to be all about the me right now and not the we and us serving each other and being part of the bigger good. So when we see one another within the body of Christ, it's very practical and it's a very concrete way to honor one another when we serve one another. And it doesn't have to be something that's grandiose. You know, it can be something that's simple and mundane. Look what Jesus did when he washed his disciples' feet. Like you've already mentioned, that is a position, the lowest position you can go.
Yeah.
You're coming in, you're cleaning off the gook of the street off of people's feet. Who wants to touch people's feet anyway, if they're clean or not?
No.
But that's what Jesus did. That is servanthood. Being alert is vitally important to the little things, the mundane, the simple things that need to be done, and then doing them. So you have to have the heart and the eyes of a servant to see the need.
Yeah.
Requires no special talent or special gifts. Servanthood. A great example I read, a well-known Bible teacher who was speaking at a men's group at a church in Washington, D.C. Well, after this men's group finished up, he noticed there was a man who stayed behind to remove and stack all the chairs. And upon inquiring, he learned that this guy that was stacking all the chairs is actually a very busy U.S. senator.
Really?
Yeah. It did not take any talent or unusual ability to stack chairs for a senator, someone of authority in that position, to really humble themselves to do a simple, mundane task. It's all about having that attitude of a servant.
Yeah.
One of the chief characteristics of a servant is that they serve downward. You know, it's easy to serve people that are above you, that you're superior. But when you humble yourself and you serve downward, and of course, that's the world standards. They say that they're downward, you know, in a position that's not, or a different station of life that you. But that's what it's all about. So Jesus recognized that the lesser serves the greater. At one time he said, "For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." That's in Luke chapter 22, verse 27. And that's what he's showing us again is that example.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Serving others usually requires no special talent or ability. Give an example in your life of an opportunity you had to serve others that required no talent or ability. I can think of a great one. If you don't come up with it, I'll share it.
You know what you have my answer already picked out?
I want you to give an answer.
Okay.
If you don't come up with the answer I have in my head, then I'll share mine too.
With no talent or ability?
Yeah.
Working with Safe Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, really the only talent you need is patience. If you aren't good with patience, it's a good way to learn it. I think just working with kids or special abilities, children or even people, and working with ministry, people are very complicated, but very simple. They just want someone to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think listening is really a talent that we all have. We just need to accept it.
Yeah.
Like, we need to be able to step back and listen. We live in a generation that talks. We are talkers. We always talk. And it's kind of a selfish thing. Like, you're just talking all the time about your problems, your issues, your struggles.
Mm-hmm.
But we never actually listen. There are very few listeners in today's age. And people who are listeners are very popular people, because people love being around listeners. To help with today's society is to be a listener. I think that's a great way to have no, like, if you feel like you don't have talent, which if you feel that, God can still use you. God did it in the Bible.
He picked the most.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the people you wouldn't want to pick to do the job.
Yeah.
When you even look at, like, Jesus' apostles, you know, these were like really messed up guys.
Yeah.
And if you look through all of Scripture, the Old Testament as well, he picked the least likely person to fulfill his mission. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Someone that thought they didn't have any talent. I think one of the examples that I remember, and you still remember it, when we lived in Argentina, we had a family, didn't attend our church. They were somehow connected to someone who attended our church, but their house caught on fire.
Oh.
And this was in a neighborhood called Barrio Toro, which is a neighborhood of people who were immigrants, who were downcast, who built houses out of whatever they could build houses out of. And this family lived right on the edge of that. And their house, of course, was a typical structure house there, which is concrete block, mm-hmm. tin roof, that kind of thing. And their house caught on fire and it basically destroyed the house. Now you're thinking, how do you burn brick? Well, it does actually burn and it weakens it. And at that point, it's ruined. On a Saturday, several of us, and I drug you along because I wanted you to experience that. I knew that it doesn't take a skill to do what we were going to do, even as a child. Took you long. We had to do two things. One, there was one crew who had the skill to start digging the new foundation for this, of the brick walls going up, but we had to basically take the other house down.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you were out there literally ripping stuff off. I mean, we were taking a burnt charred house down to the ground and putting that into a pile to dispose of it. That took no skill.
Yeah.
That's deconstruction. Trust me, kids know how to deconstruct things.
They do.
Very easily. But you remember that to this day.
I do. And I think it was a big factor of, like, a subconscious factor of what God was pre-calling to my life. I think it was kind of a foreshadowing. Because I'm a social worker, I'm going to be helping people who are in tough situations. Like, it's going to be rough for them. I think God has put things into my life that has kind of pushed me towards that.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Serving others usually requires no special talent or ability. It does take a servant attitude. Mm. That servant attitude, we want to serve others. We have to have an observant eye to see what needs to be done. If we have that servant attitude, we can develop that observant eye. You know, the reason most of us don't see the opportunities to serve in front of us is we are continually thinking about ourselves instead of others. We've not learned that we are to look not only at our own interests, but also to the interests of others. Really, servanthood starts with the condition of the heart.
I also think that there's a big stigma and requirement to be a servant is the idea of going to another country. Yes, going on to another country is a great opportunity, great life-changing, it's amazing, but we do need to serve the people in our neighborhoods, in our town. We talk about this in my intro to social work class a lot. When we think of servanthood, we kind of skip over where we live, where we are, call our home, and we go over to third world countries like Haiti and Ecuador and Costa Rica and Africa, all those. And
we it's easier?
It's because it's not personal.
It's not personal in a way, and you don't have to invest as much. When you can send money overseas, or you can go over there for a couple weeks and feel good about yourself. Now, you might have the right motives doing it, but if it's helping someone here, again, it goes back to what we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
It's about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's about fellowship and relationship and getting to know that person. If you see someone that has a need locally, that's more of an investment.
Yeah.
It's more of a long-term investment, investing in the lives of people. God is the one who gives us a servant attitude. As we serve those whom God has placed in our sphere of influence, the most important character trait is that of faithfulness and trustworthiness. Especially if we're serving someone who is above us in a supervisory position and we've been given a task, we somehow feel, since we are serving in a voluntary capacity many times, that commitment to faithfulness is not as important. Mm. Well, you know, I can't go this week to do this with you. You know, I'm busy, you know, but it's volunteer, so it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know? God is the one who requires that we be faithful in everything.
I'm a mentor at one of the local schools in the area.
Mm-hmm.
It's for a class. It's for my social work class, and we have to go and get a certain amount of hours for mentoring. You kind of have the mindset of, oh, I'm just doing this for the hours. I went into it as I'm going to invest into these kids that I have.
Right.
I kind of took the mindset of, I'm not doing this for a class. I'm doing this to help.
Do you find that more rewarding with that different mindset?
I think so. Like me personally, I'm not really doing it for myself, but I do feel good at the end of the day. I've been doing this for the whole semester right now. Mm-hmm. I love my kids. They're awesome, super funny, super. They're just fifth and sixth grade, but they're super funny. They have issues and we talk them out, but by the end of the time, you can see kind of a sense of hope, because some of these kids have a really rough time. And you see a sense of hope in their eyes. And I love that. I love seeing that. That's God working in them. I can't really talk about God in that school because it's a public school. But I can see the implementation of God's ideas and God's wisdom in those little kids. And I love it. And so I think that's the rewarding factor of it, is to know that those kids have hope in the end of the day.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
The reward of servanthood is to be like our master for all of eternity. And it comes down to, again, Jesus and that attitude of servanthood that he presented as an example to us. But yeah, then also, this is our relationship with Christ, is to be like Christ. That is the ultimate goal. I'm going to close it out with some thoughts from Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren. Everyone knows him. We are not saved by serving, but we are saved for serving. Mm. Paul says in Scripture, you are called to be free. You cannot serve God until you have been set free by Jesus. Until you experience the transforming power of God's grace in your life, you're too enslaved by your own hurts, habits, and hang-ups to think much about others. We talked about that earlier. Without the freedom of forgiveness, you're going to end up serving for the wrong reasons. Here are the wrong reasons. Trying to earn the approval of others. You're trying to run away from some pain. You're trying to remedy guilt. And we're not trying to guilt you into servanthood at all. Or you're trying to impress God, again, thinking you can earn your way into heaven. There are some barriers to serving, and that's our selfishness. The number one reason we don't have the time or the energy to serve others is that we're preoccupied with our own agendas, our own dreams, and our own pleasures. Our motive for serving has to be love. Paul says in Scripture, serve one another in love. This is the important key to building community. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. God is far more interested in why you serve others than how well you serve them. So again, if you think you don't have any talents to offer others, it's all about your heart.
Yeah.
It's all about your humility and serving others.
Yeah, that was good. A band that really understands this topic is For King & Country.
Yeah.
I think that they do an amazing job with servanthood and the idea of servanthood. Just listen to them speak and just listen to their songs, because the last verse you said is actually a lyric in one of their songs. That band has a really good grasp and a good idea of servanthood.
They've been raised that way.
Yeah.
That closes out our faith question for today. We're going to move into a segment where we discuss some music, and we call this Music Matters. Okay, Music Matters, every week we share just a short little snippet of a song. You're probably thinking, well, why don't you play the whole song? Well, because this is also on a podcast, we don't have the copyrights to actually play the entire song.
Yeah.
So that's why we just give you a little snippet. We have permission for that. And so what we do is I bring a new song, Jake brings a new song, and then I bring out an oldie but a goldie. So this week, my new song, I love this band. I love the lead singer. I think he has one of the most incredible testimonies in Christian music. The band is We Are Messengers. Mm. Darren Mulligan is the singer. If you ever have seen him live in concert and he shares his story, he has a way of just dripping with compassion in his voice. Yeah. And so he's got new music coming out, brand new song.
Yes.
And this one is called Maybe It's Okay. But I'm going to have Darren share about this song because I just love the way he shares.
Hey guys, it's Darren here from We Are Messengers. And this is the story behind our song, Maybe It's Okay. I believe that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. But I can't escape the fact that we're hurting, anxious, disappointed, and afraid. This song is my surrender, my admitting that I desperately need God to put everything right. I found that Jesus is with me in the heartache, holding on to me and leading me through the tough times. Everything sad is being undone, but it's gonna take a little time. Getting well is a messy business. So take it easy on yourself. God has taken every mistake, every hurt, and making something really beautiful. I'm facing the reality of where I am right here, right now, and I'm trusting in Jesus. I've realized that maybe it's okay, even when I'm not okay. Maybe it's okay if I'm not okay.
I love We Are Messengers. I love their first album. I'm excited for their new one. I've always told you that I wanted to meet him, and you still haven't scheduled that.
I'm trying.
I love that, man. All right, so my song for the week is kind of a personal, relational one. Joey Ramirez, who was the chaplain worship leader for Olivet, he moved to L.A. So he made his own band, and they started making their own music. They released a new song, I think, last Friday. So this is a really new one. But this is kind of a good song, and I love the lyrics behind it. It is Of the Land is his band name, and they're on Spotify. I don't think they've hit radio yet, but it's called Your Ways, and it's just the lyrics are amazing. Here's a little bit of Your Ways by Of the Land.
As your heart breaks, you break ours too.
Good stuff. I'm glad to see Joey's doing well.
Yeah, he's doing good out there.
Didn't know he moved to L.A.
Yeah, he did.
Very good. I've done a new song. Jake's done a new song. And now our third song, of course, is our Goldie But
Oldie. Oldie But Goldie.
Oh, I did it again. Oldie But Goldie. See, I even wrote it down wrong. I got to fix my sheet here is what it is. I'm reading.
You did that last week, too.
I did. Anyway, what I do is I find one from Days Gone By. This one actually comes from 1990. I'm going into the early 90s now. Just because I'm finding that there's a lot of good stuff happening in the early 90s that I forgot about. And this one is by a guy who, I love this album. He was really into youth ministry for a lot of years, doing music as well. He almost died in a plane crash.
Did he really?
Yeah. And he continues to do music today, continues to write lots of songs, and continues in youth ministry. He lives in Dallas, Texas. His name is Al Denson. You've never heard of him, I'm sure. I had him on the iPods.
I don't know. You had a lot of things on the iPod.
This song is called Be the One, and it's basically a song challenging to be the one to accept God's call for your life. And I thought this was a good song to tie into our faith question of servanthood and being a servant. You know, will you be the one to answer to the call? So here's Al Denson, Be the One from 1990.
I think I recognize it.
You should.
I think. Because there was some times where I just hit shuffle, and that might have come on. I recognized the melody.
Okay, so that wraps up Music Matters. And now we're going to move into our final segment we call Culture Shock. So in Culture Shock today, this week, Jake sends me a text.
This is a sad text,
distraught, guys. Distraught text of the passing of Stan Lee.
It hits me every time it's said. I'm about to cry right now. I love Stan Lee. Okay, I'm a big, big, massive superhero buff.
Right.
I love superheroes. This is how we connect. Me and Dad, we always went to Marvel. When it started 2008, I remember going. No, we bought Captain America, and we watched it in the on your laptop in the basement in our house in Missouri. There's so many good, fond memories of superheroes in my life, and I think that was a great way that we connected, and Stan Lee created that, and it sucks that he passed away because He brought so much joy and entertainment into people's lives, and I just hate it.
Well, he was 95. He lived a wonderful long life.
But why can't they freeze him and do the whole...
It's not going to happen. He's not a superhero.
I know.
Even though he did appear in all the Marvel movies.
Yes, he did.
If you don't know who he is, he created all these Marvel characters, Spider-Man and Iron Man. And
Captain America. Thor, Hulk. All of them.
So he was the creator, passed away. So I found this article and I thought it was great. How superheroes can make us better Christians. Superheroes tell us what it means to be human. And for Christians, they personify the endless struggle between grace and temptation. Think about the superhero Daredevil. Blind superhero, part of Marvel's New York City gang, right?
Yeah.
He wants to do good. He wants to love his neighbor. But when he's faced with humanity's pride and cruelty, he starts to question whether his actions are really making a difference.
Yeah.
When we're serving others as followers of Christ, being like Jesus, maybe we question ourselves. Am I really making a difference doing this?
Yeah.
Why show mercy when it only leads to betrayal? Why hold yourself to a higher standard if it leaves you broken and bloodied? Let's face it, through our servanthood, many times we're hurt. Someone hurts us.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily physically, but emotionally. Our spirits are crushed. And so those are the questions that the superhero Daredevil struggles with. In Romans 12, 17 through 19, it says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." We're going to go from Daredevil. Let's look at the example of one of my favorite character, which is a DC character. And I only have one.
How can you talk about DC?
I know.
That's
Aquaman is my favorite.
Oh, you love your boy.
Aquaman. Okay, Aquaman is the king of the sea. The king of the sea lives in a world where he truly doesn't belong. Sort of like us as followers of Christ. Why should he ever care what happens to land dwellers? Wouldn't it be easier to stay beneath the waves and let the surface world pay for its own bad decisions? Us as followers of Christ, have we felt similarly to this? Christ doesn't give us that option. 1 John 3, 17 through 18 says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." The world's a tough place.
It is.
Superheroes aren't real in the sense of the Marvel DC world.
Yeah.
But sometimes we need heroes to swoop in and remind us of what's worth fighting for. Now, it may seem a little childish to think about superheroes.
But we're supposed to have childlike faith.
Exactly. Jesus told us to be more like children. So dust off your old comic books, take an afternoon and catch up on your favorite characters, and what you find may surprise you. All right, that wraps up Culture Shock. Rest in peace, Stan Lee.
Amen.
And it also brings a conclusion to our kitchen table for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that what we've shared today maybe sparks some more conversation between you and your children. That's the whole purpose of this. Again, if you want to ask a question, a faith question that we could possibly discuss in a future episode, you can actually connect with us by becoming a part of the Facebook group. It's on the Shine.fm Facebook page. Again, the Facebook group.
Yeah. Have a great week, y'all.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm Podcast Network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.